drive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Golf Picks with the Plotniks, presented by Bet the Farm Podcast. I'm Dino the Pig, joined by my brother, the farmer, Jared Plotnik. John Deere, quite a snoozer, but had some fun across the pond, getting a little, my first hit in quite some time, so I'm pretty fired up. Any thoughts on what we saw last week before we head into a series of two fun weeks overseas?
Wasn't a complete snoozer for me. If I got a little putting at a gutter up, I would have hit a winner. Guy was in contention, finished top three. Nice run on Sunday, but yet again, another top five finish for me that is not first place. Name of the game, process is there. Sticking to it, and hopefully a little trip overseas will help me out.
Yeah, well, at the same time, we did go overseas for the Irish Open, and on this podcast a week ago, I told everybody I had two plays. And one of those plays was at 30-1, Adrian Meronk, who shoots a 5-under back nine and wins decisively by a few strokes over Ryan Fox. So I'm back. That's all there is to say. I'm back. And you know what? I couldn't have done it without you. You woke up Sunday morning. Tournament, you know, was basically their 6-7 holes were the leaders at the end of the tournament. And you said that you were going to hop on them and tell your brother and take him at 3-1 odds and 30-1, 3-1. Hey, a win's a win. So, hey, that's another hit on the year. We'll take it.
Look, that's what teammates are for. I mean, I got you. You have my back. When you don't like one of my picks, you give the laugh. Whenever you give that laugh of something you dismissed, they finish top five, maybe even win. You did that with me for Goddard, so you gave me a little sweat. So thank you. And I reciprocated.
I appreciate it. So it was great to get my second win of the year. But like we always say, on to the next. I mean, two wins so far this year. This has been the worst year I've had in 5 years or so. But guess what? There's still so much golf left. So let's move forward. We have the 2022 Genesis Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club, a 7,300-yard par 71 on fescue grass greens. This is going to be an interesting one. It's going to be a little bit harder to handicap. They've only played at this course at the Scottish Open the last 3 years. It's a field of 156 players, top 65 in ties, make the cut after 36 holes. It's interesting because we're finally getting to some links style conversation. So before I jump into, you know, what I typically like to do with my course notes and tidbits, how would you define links style golf?
How would I define link style golf? Inch, I mean, tight lies, not really water, like you just said, kind of fescue. I don't know. It really is hard to explain.
I know. That's why I think of it like there's wider fairways. It's like flattish fairways, but the greens are usually hilly. The rough is really penile because of that fescue. The bunkers are deep, the pot bunkers.
Well, those are really like, that's why there's no water, because a lot of the pop bunkers are essentially you're just chipping. You just have to like flop one out like it's a greenside bunker back in the fairway because you're going to have no shot to the green. So that's how they penalize you in link style golf, as opposed to you don't really see that over in the States.
I also feel like another big component of link style golf is the rollout on the fairways. They seem to be way more firm than a typical PGA course or just like a whatever you want to call it, TPC or Muni course. And the greens always are a little bit slower. Not always, but that's the way I would kind of define link style golf. So we're going to try to find guys that fit that mold, because link style golf is very different, which is funny in a sense, because there are guys that are typically really good at link style golf, which is what you would just call European golf almost. And then you got guys like Colin Morikawa last year, who said he had never played competitive link style golf in his career and then goes out and win the Open. So you just never know. And as usual, recording on a Wednesday, it's trash day, and here he comes. So before I do anything, I'll mute myself and let you give a little bit of a course breakdown and how you're looking to attack your card.
You and your garbage. No, I mean, really, it's information really, I mean, I guess it's there over the last 3 years. So you do a little deep dive. Kind of what I'm looking at this week is a little more of the same. One thing, it's first course in a while where it tends to be, they said, pretty a lot wider fairways than we've been seeing on the tour over the last couple months. So That's going to shift kind of some of the guys I'm looking at that I haven't looked at for a few months, a little foreshadowing into maybe some picks, but really iron play, it's going to be paramount for me. And a course like this, where it's going to be more of a birdie fest, you know, the winner last year, I believe around 20 under. And so far the weather is looking like not much wind. And on these Scottish European courses, you know, wind's really the defense, right? I said not really any water. So in order for these best in the world to really be challenged, you're going to, you really need wind to be up, especially out there with wide fairways. And it sounded like that's not going to be the case. So I'm expecting something around 20 under, and that's kind of how I'm looking to what I'm building my card around this week.
Yeah. So the Renaissance Club has hosted this event the last 3 years. All 3 years, the tournament went to a playoff. You mentioned a guy winning last year at close to 20 under. That was Minwoo Lee. He wins in a playoff over my boy Thomas Dietrich and Matthew Fitzpatrick. Now, before I talk, well, yeah, before I get to that, what makes this year a lot more interesting is that the DP World Tour partnered with the PGA Tour to make this a PGA Tour event. This was never a PGA Tour event. This was simply a Rolex Series DP World Tour event. Now this is both a joint DP World Tour and PGA Tour joint event as one of the five tournaments in the Rolex Series. So for anybody that's not familiar with the DP World Tour, Rolex Series, those are basically the top five premier events on the DP World Tour, similar to the WGCs that you'll find in on the PGA Tour. So that's what makes this a lot more interesting, because 14 of the 15 top players in the world are playing this week. And in years past, that's not been the case. It's typically just been European Tour players. So that being said, Minwoo Lee wins last year at 18 under. 2020 was Aaron Rye wins in a playoff versus Tommy Fleetwood. And that was the 1 year at the Renaissance where the wind picked up and he only won at minus 11. And then in 2019, Vern Wiesberger beats Benjamin Hébert at minus 21 when there was no wind. So we've seen it go both ways. Minus 11, obviously, that would tell you that the wind picked up and it's going to be a little bit trickier. You're going to have a good short game. And then there's also the wind is dead at this course. It's going to be really easy. And also factor in the strength of field in those tournaments compared to what we're going to see this week. So if it was minus 21 in those subpar fields, now you add 14 of the 15 top players in the world and some. And I think that scores could get even lower than that. So, yeah, like I mentioned, I think that scores are going to get low. I think that link style golf is interesting. There's 83 bunkers and no water. So those 83 bunkers typically are pot bunkers. And you mentioned it. It's just going to make this that's the only defense besides wind on the entire course. So I'm interested to see how guys play out of both the fairway and the around the green sand. What makes this course a little bit trickier and more interesting, I shouldn't say, not trickier, but four par fives, but five par threes on a par 71 and then nine par fours. So five par threes, that's a little bit different compared to the typical 71. Four of the par fives are over, sorry, I'm saying this incorrectly. All four of the par fives are 560 plus yards. And three of the par threes are over 200 plus yards. So 200 plus proximity is certainly something that I'm going to factor in. But I also think that that's a skewed stat in a sense, because there's going to be, like I mentioned, these link style courses, the run out on the fairways is so hefty because they're so firm and there's hills and whatnot that typically feed downhill that like guys are going to bomb the ball like 380 off the tee. It's going to happen plenty of times. So my focus this week, we're going to focus on approach play, definitely scoring opportunities, because I do think scores are going to be low. Since there's four par fives that are all reachable, give me par five scoring guys that are good at scoring on par fives. Any guy that has links golf history, I'm going to be focusing on that. If the wind does decide to pick up, anybody with a low ball flight or is notoriously a good wind player, I'm certainly going to be, you know, factoring that into guys that I want to eye both outright and in things like DFS and matchups. So that being said, yeah, you already talked about the weather, but the latest weather in North Berwick, Scotland does look fairly calm. Thursday looks like it's going to be chill, so the scores are going to be low. Friday, winds start to pick up to 15 to 20 miles an hour. Saturday, pretty chill again. And Sunday, pretty chill. So it looks like that Friday wave is going to be what makes things interesting. It looks like the morning wave is going to benefit and the afternoon wave is going to hurt. So this might be a PM, AM wave type of event, but I guess we shall see. So that being said, let's jump right onto the board and get into our outright picks. As we like to do, we'll start from the top. Your favorite this week, Justin Thomas, as well as John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler, all at 14 to 1 odds, which, you know, I kind of like these numbers. Like, I'm not taking them, but I mean, in the typical PGA Tour event, even with a field this strong, you're going to see guys at 10, 11, 12, you're getting Scottie and Rahm at 14. Don't seem like terrible numbers. And then Xander coming off of a win at the Travelers and then also winning this Pro-Am that they had on Monday, Tuesday. He's 18 to 1. Fitzpatrick, your reigning U.S. Open champion at 18 to 1. That wraps up the 10 to 20 range. Did anybody catch your eye? Did you even debate biting a bullet here?
Not really. Just a field like this, just not the thing that I'm going for. And there's a couple names a little further down the board that I think have very similar win equity that I'd rather take at those numbers.
Yeah, I think that Fitzpatrick, certainly, I'm fading Fitzpatrick this week. I'll get to some plays later on that. He is definitely coming off of a high off of the U.S. Open, shoots plus seven at the Pro-Am and finishes in like 40th place out of not very many guys at this Pro-Am. I mean, it's a Pro-Am, it's a hit and giggle, it doesn't matter, but I don't know. I mean, maybe at a major next week, maybe he'll lock back in. I don't see it happening this week, especially at 18 to 1. Xander is interesting because he's absolutely red hot right now. But there's just too much value down the board to jump on some of these guys at 14, 18 to 1. So I'm with you. I don't think that they're bad numbers necessarily, just guys that I like a little bit more down the board with a little bit more value. So we'll get to the 20 to 30 range. Patrick Cantlay, 22, Cam Smith at 25, Big Willie Z, 25, and Sam Burns Morikawa at 30 to 1. I got a feeling, just a hunch, that someone caught your eye here that you pulled the trigger on.
Well, I believe that hunch would be correct because this is normally the zone I love. And I decided I'm going to start my card at 27 to 1 with the lesbian Cameron Smith back on board. It's been a while. I kind of alluded to it in my preview. I've been really fading in the last few months. When you get through this tough stretch on the PGA Tour, it's when you tend to find a lot more narrow fairway type of courses. It's where I kind of want to avoid him since obviously his big deficiency is off the tee play, but now you get him on a wider fairway at a course where it's really rewarding that that iron play and his iron. He's been number one iron player on tour for the last, I'd say he's right up there this season, but
I know for 50 rounds, but he's second on approach on the season.
Yeah. I'd say him, Morikawa and JT. He just, after last year, it was definitely Morikawa, JT, no one really close with the irons. This year, I think he's really catapulted himself up into the same class. And the numbers would back it up. I mean, the one thing that he hasn't been getting the results since his players win is because the putter's gone cold on him. I think he's lost putting in four of the last five events. One was, I believe, it was the Memorial, or no, it was the PGA when we were watching. And I think he literally, I counted like 10 or 11 lip outs. So, I mean, look, putting is variable. We talk about that all the time. So I'm not worried at all about the putter flipping back positive for Cam Smith now at a course that I think he profiles perfectly for, and we're getting him at a reduced number. Lower than 27 to 1, around like 20 to 1 for both the majors, and now we're getting him at, I mean, this field's great, but it's not a major field. I mean, you're missing guys like Rory and whatnot, so I think I'm getting some nice value at a reduced price due to some putting variance that could easily flip this week.
Yeah, in this range, a few guys stood out to me. I liked Cantlay. I would have preferred him at 25 to 28. He's at 22. I think that he's a great play this week. He checks all the boxes for a link style player. He just hasn't had much success overseas. I started just to try to think about guys I think that are just going to, that, you know, a lot of these guys in this area just haven't played much link style golf. Like, or been overseas in general, or played much on the European tour, like Sam Burns, Will Zalatoris, Cam Smith, Patrick Cantlay, Morikawa. You know, we just don't have much of a sample size. So what do I want to think about? Whose game would fit a perfect link style golf course? And I stumbled upon, and I'm surprised you found a 27. You must have bit the bullet early. I waited a little bit. I'm also on Cameron Smith, actually, at 25-1. And we didn't even talk about that before this. So interesting. We do tend to look at things similarly. So, yeah, I think that his game fits perfect for link style golf. Creativity around the greens, phenomenal iron player, a good putter. The driver's not going to kill him because the fairways are wider, plays good in the wind. The previous scores at the Renaissance indicate really low scores. And what is Cam Smith really good at? Scoring in bunches. You mentioned second on approach on the year this year. He's second in birdie or better percentage as well this season, second in par five scoring. And even though the putter has been up and down lately, he's still on the season 14th in putting. So the guy's made the cut at the Open in 3 or 4 tries. No great finishes, but the game has never peaked nearly as much as it is going into this year's final major. And obviously had an unbelievable start to the season. I think he wants to end the season strong. I think he's coming in overlooked at, and we're getting him at a discount after a miscut at the US Open and a 48th finish at the RBC Canadian, but he wasn't bad at Memorial whatsoever. Top 15 finish. Cam Smith, 25-1 starts my card. I think that we're getting a good number here. I think 22-20 would have been where I thought that he would be. And I definitely wouldn't have taken that. I think 25 is probably the minimum I would take it at, maybe a 23 or if 24 for book even offers that, but that's where I'm at. So yeah, I'm all on that as well. So let's move to the 30 to 50 here. Sam Burns, Colin Morikawa, Matsuyama Hovland, Jordan Spieth, all in the 30s. Then you get Niemann, Tommy Fleetwood, Ryan Fox, who's been on fire, Sung Jae, Tyrrell Hatton, Cam Young, Corey Connors, boom, 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 so on and so forth. And obviously a wide range of guys here. First one that caught my eye, Sam Burns at 30-1. Finishes runner-up at this pro-am, the JP, whatever, the McManus, behind Xander Schauffele. Good to see him get a little bit more acclimated. That tournament's in Ireland, but, you know, obviously that's still correlated to link style and European golf. He's just dialed in right now. He's won multiple times on tour already this year. I haven't put the bet in, but I really like Sam Burns. I didn't dive as deep into his numbers, but I think he's going to make my card. I just haven't done it. I don't think it's going to get any better than 30, but I'm certainly eyeing that one. Morikawa, I'll wait for a major, and I'm fading Hovland because I just think if he gets stuck in a pop bunker, he's going to ruin a round like we've talked about with the short game. Speed at 33-1 is just insane value. The guy is one of the best link style golfers. He's won the Open before, plays well overseas all the time. Did you take anyone in this range? Because I haven't bitten the bullet quite yet on anybody.
Yeah, I had a number of guys here. I really liked Hideki at 33. His irons are just on fire, but I just didn't pull the trigger there because I like some a little bit better. Spieth at 33, eyed that, but he's worried me his last two starts, losing strokes with irons after how hot his irons were, so I laid off there. And instead, I also took at 30-1, Colin Morikawa, a guy who just, again, he can peak out of nowhere. And I have a rule, guy of his quality who hasn't won in a year, when he's above 25-1, I'm taking him. Not overthinking it anymore like I did last year at the Open when and we almost overthought it at the U.S. Open when he's talking down his swing and then he comes out and he pops.
That's not what happened. He played at the Scottish Open, I think he played at the Scottish Open, and he said that it was his first time playing link style golf. And he said, there's something about my irons that impact when it hits the ground. It's just not working for me and I don't feel good with my irons. And then he comes out and wins the Open the next week.
Yeah, why'd you preface that by like saying that's not what he said. I never said he didn't say that.
No, I'm saying that's when he was saying that. That was the infamous Colin Morikawa statement of saying that he didn't like where his game was at because he said his irons weren't adjusting to the fairways and type of grass in Europe.
Yeah, and that was my point. I was going to be on him because he said that. I overanalyzed that comment and did take him at 40-1. Just like at the U.S. Open, he's complaining about not being able to hit a cut, and now he's playing a draw, which he hasn't done since college. And he comes out, and if it wasn't for a tumultuous third round, he wins the U.S. Open too. So point is, I'm not putting any faith into what he says. I'm just taking a Colin Morikawa, who hasn't won in a year, at a crazy 30-1 number, when I think he has just as much win equity as all the guys at 12-1. So I'll happily just take Colin Morikawa here.
Yeah, no, I mean – I can't fault any part of that, but down the board in the 40 range, I really love Joaquin Niemann this week, but we're not on U.S. soil. So you know what that means. Non-U.S. soil Tommy Fleetwood is the best Tommy Fleetwood. Guy came runner-up at this event in 2020 in the playoff. He also finished T26 last year. He's got course experience here. Loves playing in Europe in general, has 5 wins on the European tour in his career, including one of them being in Scotland, was the runner-up at the Open at 2019 at Royal Portrush, which I think is one of the best comp courses to the Renaissance this week. This just feels like the perfect week for Tommy Fleetwood, especially, you know, I don't think his number is going to be that great next week. I think it'll be similar to this, and instead I'll be able to get it this week. At a field, I think that, like you said, isn't going to be as strong. It's still really strong, but 40-1, Tommy Fleetwood certainly stuck out to me, and I pulled the trigger there.
Whew. Still a PGA Tour event, scary, but yeah, you're lucky it's at least not on soil.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, then you get to the Fox, Sungjae's. Tyrrell Hatton certainly intrigues me here. His game's starting to come into form. He's one of those guys that just complains about like courses not fitting his game, but in Europe, I mean, he's been notoriously disgusting on the DP World Tour when he was back playing over there before he got his tour card. 45-1 seems like a pretty juicy number for Tyrrell Hatton this week. I haven't taken it, but I mean, the driver scares me, but not this week necessarily. I don't know. Did you think about that?
His form this year, I don't mind it either this week, but at 45-1 in such a field, I would be expecting like a 65-70 if I wanted any part of that.
Yeah. Then you get Cam Young at 50, which I think is a good discount on Cam Young. I just think that we've seen him play really well just this one year. Besides that, we've really got no sample size, certainly not anything in Europe. I didn't want to pull the trigger there. I'll have exposure to him in other senses, matchups, and you know, DFS. And then I get to Corey Connors, and that's my next bet on the card. I just think that if this turns into a tee to green contest, who fits that better than Corey Connors? He's phenomenal off the tee, elite approach player. And if he could just get something going on these slower greens that most of the players in the field aren't going to be used to coming from the States, then that's just going to benefit his game really well. He's second in ball striking on the season this year on tour, 27th in opportunities gained in the last 50 rounds. He's going to give himself chances to score. He hasn't lost strokes off the tee since February of 2021. He's just elite. And if he's going to be in the fairway and not put himself in trouble into these 83 bunkers, then I think he's just going to be in contention and give himself a chance. He finished T15 at the Open last year, so he's showed that he can't compete overseas. I like Corey Connors at 50-1. I think it's a good price.
Can't argue it. I mean, I just purposely I love Corey Connors on these narrow fairways because, like you said, he's so elite off the tee. But I mean, if he wider the fairways, it's going to guarantee he's going to be in the fairway. So can't hate it.
Yeah, then we get to the 50 to 75 range. Got the Lucas Herberts, Keegan, Max Homa at 60. I'm sure a lot of people are going to be on that. He's been really bad at the Open and in Europe in his career, even though he hasn't played much over there. Aaron Rye won this event 2 years ago. He's 60-1. Billy Horschel, I'll have more exposure to him in other ways, and I'll talk a little bit more about him later. But then you got Minwoo Lee, your reigning champion. Anybody in that 50 to 70 range that you like?
Yeah, like you said, haven't officially locked it in yet, but I am just zoned in on Max Homa, and kind of like you referred to earlier about Cam Smith, his Scottish Open history. Well, completely different player. You say the same exact thing about Max Homa this year. Completely different player than he was in right. his past performances here. And why Max Homa is a 60 when Tyrrell Hatton's a 45, I wouldn't understand. Max Homa has been playing so good. I mean, all you need is when he has a green putter, the guy finishes in the top 15. It's, I think in his last, that's why he's been so good this year. He's switched the putter over his last 15-ish events, and he's gained in all but two of them. And guess what? He's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I think he's 7 top 20s, including a win. So, excuse me, as we have some dogs play in the area. But, yeah, Max Homa.
Well, everybody knows it's called Bet the Farm Podcast. We live on a farm. There's going to be a lot of animal noises, garbage, everything. So, all good.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just, with that said, I don't see, I haven't officially took it yet, but I have a lighter card this week. So, it's really, I'm going to take one more guy in this 30 to 60 range. But right now, I'm just zoned in on Homa. Guy hasn't lost on approach in 10 starts, either off the tee, either. He's just, his ball striking has been amazing. And when he gets that putter again, that's why he has so many good finishes. I don't see why he's 60 to 1 in this field. So I'm most likely taking him with that number as of right now.
Okay. 75 to call it 100 range. Justin Rose, Bobby McIntyre, Adrian Meronk, my boy, at 80 to 1. Keith Mitchell, Mito Pereira, Zayden Hoot, Woodland. These are the guys that we'd be looking at in this range. And I do have a play here, and I'm going to go with the local legend, Big Bobby McIntyre, at 75 to 1 odds. I'm going to ride the hometown kid narrative. He's from Scotland, so we know that he's going to be used to and adjusted to both the wind, the way that, you know, links style greens play, and you know, just in general, how all of this grass plays that guys aren't used to, this fescue grass. He's been a top competitor on the DP World Tour over the past few years. Going to fully understand how this type of golf is played. He has 2 professional wins overseas. I wanted to ride one hometown narrative for a Scottish player. And I mean, he's the best one, and he's 75 to 1 odds. And he's coming around with his driver finally. The driver's been killing him over the last few weeks on the PGA Tour. Now he gets back into something he's a little bit more comfortable with, figuring it out. The big lefty, if he can find ways to get into the fairway, we know he's an elite iron player. I think the lefty could go out there and shock the world and get that hometown win. So I like Big Bobby Mack at 75 to 1 odds.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah, it's an interesting play. I just tell you, it's more, I have a light card this week as well. That's why I honestly, just full disclosure, that wrapped up my card, but I think I'm going to add Sam Burns. I just haven't yet. The long shots don't interest me much, but it sounds like you've got some guys that you like. So we'll get to 100 plus, and you know, there's so many names out there, but who stood out to you?
Yeah. I mean, and you got to, shop this week, you can find some better numbers, but this should surprise no one. 100 to 1, there's no way I'm just not taking Mito Pereira. I have to at that long shot number. He's already seen in these stack fields that he can compete, and he likes some birdie fest as well. So anyone that's a long time listener,
yeah,
doesn't have to hear me expound upon that.
I was about to say the same thing. I was like, I think we've only talked about him every single week for, I don't know, the entire time we've been doing this podcast. So yeah. We don't need to get into the numbers and style of play. I think that, like we talked about, he's almost an auto play. I'm a little concerned with him. I don't think he's ever played overseas, at least on a PGA Tour event. I don't even know if he's ever played European Tour. He's from
South America. Even when I've looked at it, though, I've heard from in the Scottish Open, there's really been no correlation between guys that are like European playing as opposed to Americans. Like Ryan Palmer finished 4th there last year. Ryan Palmer probably doesn't have much playing over there either.
I mean, it's easy to say, but at the same time, no PGA Tour players typically even play this event because it's never been a PGA Tour event. So, but I understand what you're saying. I just think that I did want to put some factor into guys that have experience playing link style golf overseas, different type of fan bases, different type of atmosphere, and it's going to be cold and windy. I mean, guys are going to be wearing beanies out there. That's just how it works overseas. So understandable. Anybody else?
Yeah, so I'm wrapping my card up, my 5th and final one. at 125-1, and I'm going back to the guy I love betting because I like pain, and it's no other than Luke List, coming off a career best 10.3 games strokes gained on approach at the Travelers. 10.3 on approach, 3.6 off the tee, best ball striking week of his career. And guess what he did on accident? He combined it with the worst putting round of his career, losing 7.8 strokes putting. So what Luke List did last time out, that's very impressive too, for a career high in ball striking mixed with a career high in putting the same exact week, and still churned out a 19th place finish. And the guy's actually had good finishes at the Scottish Open in his career. So he's played over here multiple times. So he's got that experience. At triple digits, I'm just a sucker for one of the best ball strikers in the world coming off of the best ball striking round or tournament of his career. So that said, Luke List at 125-1 will wrap up my card.
All right. I like it. Luke List, he's one of the premier ball strikers. I think I saw it was either ball. I think it was ball striking when I was looking at the PGA Tour 2022 stats this year. I think he was second in the field, or sorry, second on tour this year in ball striking, which for the people that aren't, you know, number junkies, that's a combination of off the tee and approach play. So yeah, can't complain there. I mean, I go down the list in this 100 range, guys that stand out to me. I don't have numbers to necessarily back all these guys up, but I certainly don't hate Brian Harman, another lefty. The guy's an elite ball striker, can get hot with the putter. Let's see. Who else is down here that's intriguing? Thomas Dietrich at 175-1. He has immense experience overseas, multiple-time TP World Tour winner. I always like him. And Matt Kuchar. I mean, we saw him go head-to-head with Jordan Spieth at the Open not too long ago at a very similar course at, I believe that was Port Rush. That wasn't Port Rush. That was the year that Lowry won. But anyways, I mean, all these courses are kind of similar. So when you get to Scotland, so he's intriguing at 200-1. And then after that, I mean, you get really deep. Francesco Molinari, he's won the Open before, a lot of experience. Link Style, he's won on the DP World Tour, I think over five or more times. He's a guy I think that could be worth a bullet at 200-1, but maybe someone more apt for exposure elsewhere. And then it really falters. I think it gets too deep at that point. I think that this field is a little bit too strong. So that'll wrap up our outright bets for the Scottish Open. But guess what? It's not the only tournament going on this week. We've got the Barbasol Championship in Kentucky this week. That's a PGA Tour event as well. We got two going this week. Your boy got her up, the outright favorite. You get to bite the bullet there?
I mean, I'm not really focused on this event this week. I think I probably will just take him and just call it a tournament. I
saw him already at 18. He opened like 25, and he's at 18 already. He's getting hammered.
I can't do enough actual like research to put my money where my mouth is on two tournaments a week as of right now. So especially on our short week, so off of 4th of July on Monday. So I guess I'll probably just pull a Brandon at like the on DP Tour World Tour events, take one or two guys. So I was seeing a 20 on him. I'll probably just jump on him because I've been the king this year of just being on the right guys as they finish top five, top 10, and then getting off the train right before they win. So let's stay on the train with Goddard.
Yeah, so I mean, I did want to dive a little deep into Barbasol just because, I mean, hey, as I showed last week, if you give yourself exposure into some of these other tours, there is value to be had. The minus, or over the last 6 years at this tournament, Barbasol, the average score to par is minus 21. So certainly going to be low scores, bombers off the tee, a lot of advantage. There's a lot of gettable fives, easy par fours, and little to no rough. And right on cue, here comes the garbage truck. But who gives a fuck? My plays are probably going to be garbage anyways. I'm taking my boy Anthony Smotherman at 40-1 odds in this field in the last 50 rounds. Ranks number one in ball striking, number three tee to green, number three off the tee. If he gets that putter going, I don't see why he can't go extremely low and give himself a chance to win his maiden PGA Tour win. A guy that we've talked about over the last few weeks, he's been red hot, and he's 50-1 odds in a really shitty field. Tyler Duncan, 50-1. Jared, you might have to tail this one because this guy you've been talking about, but number 2 in ball striking, number 9 off the tee, and number 15 in approaching the field. Another guy gets the putter going. I think that he can certainly be at top of the leaderboard come Sunday. So just like last week at the Irish Open, going to take 2 bullets, see what happens. 40-1 on Smotherman, 50-1 on Duncan. I think there's value to be had there. So those are going to be my 2 Barbasol plays. And that will wrap it up for outrights altogether. Let's get into our full tourney matchups. We're not probably going to talk about it, Barbasol matchups, but going into the Scottish Open matchups, let's hear, what do you got, a Farmer 5-pack? What do you got this week?
I actually do have a Farmer 5-pack. Someone's been looking at my notepad. So, but yes, I got a quick 5-pack of matchups this week that I like. We'll start off with Xander Schauffele, -110 over Fitzpatrick. I'm sure you're on that as well, as you alluded to the fate of Fitz. Kind of like that as well. And Schauffele couldn't be playing better right now. So give me that. I like Matsuyama +100 over Will Zalatoris. Will Zalatoris, hard course. That's where I want to back him. Easy birdie fest, like it sounds like this is going to be, where I want to fade him. So I'm attacking him with
Matsuyama. And the week before a major, because that's clearly the guy's MO at this point.
So... and I like Matsuyama's irons here, so give me that. Going Max Homa +110 over Keegan Bradley. No secret, Bradley's been playing amazing, but so has Homa, and I'm getting plus money on it. So I'll gladly eat that one up. And sorry, this is where I'm kind of fading you, but kind of why the reason I said before, but I'm going Cam Young +100 over Corey Connors. I just think that at worst, this is like a coin flip, but Cam Young's been playing just some really good, consistent golf at plus money. Taking away Corey Connors' off the tee advantage per se. I like that matchup there. And I'll finish it off with just the homer pick of Mito Pereira -120 over Keith Mitchell.
Achilles Keith, just if he could bomb the ball and avoid some of those bunkers, might be someone to keep an eye on. I was eyeing him outright, but didn't take it. I'll get to my matchups, and yeah, you alluded to it. I got a good number, Xander over Matt Fitzpatrick at -105. I mean, like I said, the guy just won the Travelers, won the JP McManus. His game couldn't be in better form, winning both in the States and overseas. Fitz, I still believe in this U.S. Open hangover and not playing well at the – I don't care about the JP McManus, but it's just something worth mentioning. I'll take the better all-around player as an underdog. I like, and I said I want exposure to him. Give me Joaquin Niemann this week over Victor Hovland at -112. Hovland on link style scares me. The short game, per usual. I don't care if it's from Norway. I think he moved there when he was like 12 or something. I'm not really worried. He was never a DP World Tour guy. Went straight to the PGA Tour. Doesn't have that much experience. Niemann, I think that if wins do pick up, he has the perfect low ball flight to score and to be at the top of the leaderboard. So just picture Victor Hovland in a pop bunker. It just scares the shit out of me. So I'll take Niemann over him. And then lastly, give me Lucas Herbert over Jordan Smith at +105. I'm surprised somehow that this guy is an underdog in a matchup, yet Herbert is 40-1 odds. And Jordan Smith, I think, is 100-something to 1 odds. It makes no sense. And Las Vegas just knows something that I don't. But Herbert has 2 top 15 finishes on the PGA Tour in the last 5 weeks. And he's has finished top 5 here each of the last 2 years at the Scottish Open, at the Renaissance. So don't understand this line. I think that this is a phenomenal value, +105. Give me Lucas Herbert. That's a piggy 3-pack for you. So let's jump into first round leaders. I certainly do have a few, and we've kind of turned the corner. We had a really bad stretch at the beginning of the year, turned the corner, hit 2. So I did not look at AM PM wave, which I don't think is going to matter on Thursday anyways. I think that PM AM for, you know, DraftKings purposes and for outright purposes makes sense. But first round leader, I'm going to go with a guy that I really am high on this week. Just didn't make my card at Hako Niemann, 45-1. It ranks 3rd in first round scoring average on the PGA Tour this year. I just alluded to him, Keith Mitchell, 66-1 odds. Guy can get really hot really quickly, ranks 12th in first round scoring average on the PGA Tour this year. And then I had to just go with, I wanted a long shot. for first round leader because I always think that's smart. And I think that most people are going to overlook a lot of these Europeans this week just because so many guys from the PGA Tour are coming over. But give me I wanted a Scottish guy. Just, you know, he could get fired up with the crowd and the crowd will be behind him. Give me Richie Ramsey, 110-1. He's a three-time winner on the Euro Tour, so the DP World Tour. He's Scottish. Crowd gets behind him, 110-1 odds. Just need one round out of you. Make it Thursday, Richie. Those are my three first-round leaders.
All right. I got four, and, of course, just sticking to the brand, they're all in the morning wave. So let's start with the morning Thursday master that I like to call him. Aaron Rye at 65-1. Like you mentioned, his course history here is pretty good, too. We'll go Mito 70-1, Gary Woodland 70-1, and Luke List 100-1. Just a little small full pack, four pack from the morning wave. Hopefully I wake up around 7 o'clock and one of them sitting atop and I get a nice morning sweat.
Yeah. I mean, these guys tee off at 2:30 a.m. Eastern time on Thursday morning. So yeah, when we wake up, these guys will already be done with the round. We'll be watching the quote unquote afternoon wave. All right. Let's jump in. I know you don't usually add anything here, but I do some props. I have two props I really like this week in the Scottish Open. Give me Billy Horschel, top 20 finish at +230. I think this is a phenomenal value bet. He won the BMW PGA Championship last year on the European Tour. That's a Rolex Series event, so one of the premier events. He wins that event. He just won the Memorial a few weeks back, so he's in phenomenal form. I think that a top 20 finish at +230 seems like good value to me, so I like Billy Horschel. And then I also alluded to this guy as a potential outright. I just think that I don't think he's going to actually win, but I think it's another good opportunity at top 20 at +550 odds. So 5.5 odds to 1. Francesco Molinari. I mentioned he won the Open Championship in 2018 at Carnoustie, which is in Scotland. And he's a six-time European Tour winner. He's made three of his last four cuts on the PGA Tour with two top 26 finishes at the Memorial and the Byron Nelson, +550. He was one of the longest odds that they had on the board. And I mean, the track record speaks for itself. I wouldn't say turning the corner, but he's starting to figure his game out just a little bit, and I'll take a top 20 flyer on him. So those are two props that I like this week. All right. Look, came in, came out, and hopefully we come out with a winner. Any parting words?
No, just GLTA. Everyone enjoy it, and let's get a couple more winners.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Golf Picks with the Plotniks, presented by Bet the Farm Podcast.
GLT.
Good luck, everybody.